our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 230, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. O thou who in a former day didst turn thy dreadful wrath away, in grace thy people, Lord, return, and let thy wrath no longer burn. Psalter 230, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for this evening, you can find it in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, the first 14 verses. you mentioned Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. But before we will do confession with the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, Creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that only one true God who lives and reigns forever, thou hast created all things, thou upholds all things, and in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon Thee for our physical life, and we are completely dependent upon Thee for spiritual life. And Lord, for the second time on Thy day, on this beautiful day in Thy creation, we may gather in Thy house with our children to hear again what Thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, in this evening then we will consider Thou who hast ascended up into the heavens and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. And Lord, we beg Thee from the sanctuary, wilt Thou bless us with those blessings that Thou alone can give us for our spiritual well-being of our souls. Lord, we ask Thee, as we may attempt to draw nigh unto Thee in prayer, that Thou would give us that true humility, that bowing before Thee with a knowledge of who we are, of whom we are opening our sinful lips unto Thee, that high, holy, majestic being in the heavens, of whom we read in Thy word of those angels that are about Thy throne and cry, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and we are sinful. And yet, what a wonder in Thy word that Thou hast instructed us and commands us to pray unto Thee, to open our mouth wide unto Thee, and Thou also gives a promise that Thou would fill it. Oh, may we together then pray unto Thee. May we open our mouths wide unto Thee, and may it be with the needs not only for our body, but the needs for our soul. And may we be given then to also come unto Thee, believing that Thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek Thee. May we come before Thee bowing, but also with expectation that Thou would fill us with those blessings that Thou hast merited upon this earth. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, then come among us, rend the heavens, and break hard, stony hearts, and give that through Thy word and through the preaching, not only sinners would be renewed, but may there be tonight in Thy house, through Thy word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, also food and drink. Oh, wilt Thou direct the hearts of Thy dear people unto whom Thou art, as it ascended, exalted, Lord Jesus Christ, He who is Lord of lords and King of kings, He who is the head of the church and who rules over all things. Oh, give us to see with all the turmoil, all the cares, all the concerns in this world and in our own lives, that Thou dost reign and Thou alone, and that Thou holdst the whole world in Thy hands, and nothing happens by chance, but it is all directed by Thee, by Thy providence. O give us to bow before Thee, that almighty, sovereign, holy being. Lord, give that place that we may be still and know that Thou art God. Lord, we need grace. We need grace upon grace to know Thee, to bow before Thee, but also, Lord, to surrender unto Thee. We can have those questions in our heart. Why? Why does the Lord do this? Why does He lead in this way? O Lord, we beg Thee, give, that we may truly bow before Thee, surrendering unto Thee, and we know that quietness, that peace, that Thou art God and God alone. Oh, give grace to follow Thee in all the ways that Thou leads unworthy sinners, but also that Thou leads Thy dear people. And we read in Thy word that all things work together for good for them that love Thee. Thou wilt work it all to that purpose of Thy sovereign, eternal, good pleasure. Thou wilt bring Thy dear people unto that place to be around Thee, to worship Thee eternally, to be in Thy favor, to be in Thy presence, and to be in that place, no more sin, no more flesh, no more assaults, no more trials, no more sorrows, no more consequences of sin, but to be forever in thy presence, to serve thee with their whole being. Oh, give a longing for thy church that thou would return and take home. Thou hast said, before thou hast ascended, I go to prepare a place for thee, and that I will return and take thee home. O Lord, may thy church upon this earth, thy sheep, thy lands, be an Advent people, looking for that return, where thou wilt be glorified and exalted in all things, and that they may be then delivered and to be with thee forever. Lord, we confess as thy people how our flesh cleaves to the things of this world, to time and sense. O Lord, wilt thou forgive of that living so cold, living without that zeal that we should have, living without that love for thee, for thy name, for thy presence, to be with thee as we should be living. Lord, have mercy then, and wilt thou cleanse and give, that thy people may be sanctified more and more, that they may live for thy honor and glory, that they may long for the time that they will be completely conformed to the image of thy Son, to be holy, and their whole being to serve thee. O Lord, wilt thou give a revival, give a returning unto thee, give that sin may become sin, that there may be hunger and thirst for righteousness, for holiness, to serve thee. Give a separation from the world. May we be in the world, a light in the world, but not be living with the world. Lord, help, give grace, give thy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee for thy name's sake and for the comfort of thy dear people. Lord, we beg thee, remember all those among us, children, boys and girls, teenagers, adults and older ones, who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, who only live for the things of this world, who do not seek thee faithfully, diligently, with their whole heart. They try to satisfy yet, to fill their hearts with the world. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give life, give repentance, and draw to thyself. Give that they may flee from the world, and that they may flee unto thee. Draw, Lord, to thyself. Teach, guide, and instruct. Lord, we beg thee, then have mercy upon us. Give a good hour in thy house tonight. Open ears to hear, minds to understand, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. And that thy word may be blessed, that we may become true seekers of thee, that we become lost in self, that we not only know with our mind we are a sinner, but that we feel it, experience in our heart, that we have that godly sorrow, that we have sinned and do sin and remain sin against thee. But give also, Lord, that looking unto thee, that almighty God of heaven and earth, who is not only holy and just, and who can by no means clear the guilty, but also that looking unto thee, that God of all grace, that God of mercy to unworthy sinners. Oh, may the goodness of God lead sinners to repentance. Lord, come, bless thy word, not only in thy house tonight, but also in our homes. Lord, give that fathers may be faithful to open thy word, to read thy word unto the families, and that thy word may be blessed in our homes. Oh, give that fathers may be faithful fathers, may it be God-fearing fathers, and that they may be that prophet, priest, and king in the home, and that our dear wives and children may be blessed by thy precious word. Lord, forgive all our sins as families, but also individuals. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy on us. Help us to live as faithful husbands, to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Give also to our wives to live in obedience unto thy word, to have respect unto their husbands, and that we may live together in faithfulness and love, to be helpmeets for each other, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Lord, we beg thee that thou would remember our nation, Canada. Lord, thou hast given that this nation has been founded on Christian principles, but we have forsaken thee, we have left thee, we have cast thee out, and we sin against all thy commandments and all the truths of thy word. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Give that there may be returning unto thee. Give a revival in this nation. Bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully, irresistibly, that sinners would be born again, and that thy word may become a light upon our pathways, that thy word may be opened, that thy word may be searched, and that there may be desire to know thee, to know thy ways, and to live according to thy ways. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. Give repentance also to all our sins, but especially those sins of all that blood that cries out unto thee for vengeance, the sin of murder, of euthanasia. O Lord, give respect for life, but remember also all that blood that is shed of abortion, of that murder of children in the womb. O Lord, we beg thee, give as a nation, we may see it, we may feel it, and that we may return and to thee and to love life. Thou hast created us in thy image, and that we may respect life from conception until natural death. Lord, we beg and pray thee, do not take the light of the candlestick of thy word away. Do not give a famine of thy word, but bless it richly throughout this nation, but also, Lord, in our denomination. Lord, help. Give those whom thou hast called to the office in church, as a servant, as an ambassador, as an elder, as a deacon. Oh, give faithfulness. Give the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts, that we desire to serve thee and to follow thee and to teach the truth of thy word. Lord, guide us, that thy word may have a clear sound according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that thou would bless it, that thy kingdom may come. Lord, we beg and pray thee, thou who art the King of the church, the head of the body. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that we are to pray unto thee, that thou would thrust out labors. O Lord, there is such a great need throughout the entire world. The harvest is truly ripe and ready, and so few labors. O, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou call men, teach them, men who have thy grace, and that they must come forward. O, give that burden for sinners traveling to eternity. Give that they must say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel and open doors, open the way, not throughout the world, but also especially, maybe beg thee, in our denomination. There is such a need, so many vacant congregations. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us. Pass us not by, and that in this coming year that thou would gladden us with thy deeds. And Lord, may we thank thee also that thou hast provided two men, two sinners, whom thou hast called to be instructed in the theological school. Help them, Lord, guide them, teach them, direct them. And at thy time also may it be that they may be sent out. Help the instructors, the teachers, each one, Lord, Reverend Verhoef, Reverend Hoffman, and Reverend Hockford. Lord, help them. May they be taught by thee to teach the students, and may we all remain students at thy feet to be instructed by thee. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Oh, we beg thee, remember that member who is under silent censor. Oh, bring that member to true repentance. Oh, what a joy it would be that that member may come confessing sin with a broken heart and needing mercy, and that we may tell unto that member that there is mercy for the chiefest of sinners. O Lord, have mercy. We cannot break hearts, but thou can break hearts. Thou hast that grace in thee through thy Son to turn hearts unto thee and to bring to true repentance. O give us a congregation that we may storm thy throne of mercy and grace, begging thee to lead this member to repentance. Lord, we all need it. May we pray for one another. May we be like we read in thy word, together in prayer and in supplication, begging thee to give those blessings from above, and that thou would convert sinners unto thee, and that thy people may be instructed and edified, that sinners may come to that place, lost in self, in the midst of death, needing to be righteous, needing to be forgiven, needing to be covered and washed, and lead to that only one in whom thou art well pleased, of thy dear Son, who has everything for a poor sinner. And so, Lord, we beg thee, gather with us tonight. Remember also all the education of our children in the home or at school. Bless it, Lord. But may they not only be prepared to be citizens of this nation, but oh, by thy grace, may they become citizens of that kingdom of heaven. Oh, prepare them by thy grace. Prepare us all, Lord, for that day that we must stand before thee. Oh, give urgency, give bent knees, give open mouths and pouring out hearts unto thee, and work among us with thy Holy Spirit and thy word. Lord, help them tonight. Send help from the sanctuary to listen. Take away all the distractions, all that would be a hindrance, and give help to speak and to preach. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Come then, rend the heavens, and be among us, and give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, and give those blessings upon the preaching to the hearers. Lord, we are sinful, we're polluted, unworthy, but may we beg it for thy name's sake. And Lord, thou hast said, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, may we be given to be beggars, to be pleaders, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, look upon us, hear us, and answer us, because of him who sits at thy right hand, because of thy Son, because of him who is the Lord our righteousness. Wash us, cleanse us, in his all-atoning blood, we pray and ask, for Jesus' sake, amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 183, all four stanzas. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by men who did rebel, who pray that now Jehovah, their God, with them may dwell. Psalter 183, all four stanzas. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. And the first collection is for the church, and the second for the building fund. Dear congregation, a true Christian confesses with heart and mouth, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, and He ascended into heaven. Jesus Christ was sent by His Father. Jesus Christ came to this world. He suffered, He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And last week, we considered the benefits. The benefits for His beloved church, for His sheep. Those three benefits out of His resurrection. Of righteousness, new life, but also of a future resurrection. What benefits that Jesus Christ merited for His beloved people? And He, as an exalted one, applies what He has merited. Jesus Christ arose, and He lives forevermore. And we are to seek all things in Him, and in Him alone. But may I ask you, do you know something of the benefits of Him? Of the benefit of new life, remember? Not only of new life of sanctification, but also of that benefit of new life that you have been made alive, spiritually dead. He sought you, He found you, and He made you alive. And those who have been made alive, have you been led to see that all your unrighteousnesses are unrighteousness, they're filthy rags, and that you need His righteousness? Did you hear of that benefit last week? Did you meditate upon it this week? Church of God, beloved sheep, lambs, recipients of God's grace? And are you living in a new life? Meaning, are you living longing to be sanctified, to be living more holy unto Him for His honor and for His glory? Congregation, all of us, did you meditate this week on what you heard last week, Sunday, in God's house, what the Lord spoke to you unto you through His word? Did you meditate upon a resurrected Savior? Did you think, what if Christ did not rise? Then there would be no hope, no salvation. All would be lost. Did you meditate upon it? And did you beg Him to apply what you cannot give yourself and what you absolutely need to have to be able to stand before Him? Did you beg Him, Lord, I've heard of blessings, and I cannot give it to myself, but with the apply it to my heart, teach me, guide me, lead me? Or were you busy this week with everything? Were you preoccupied with all kinds of things, maybe even good things, instead of meditating upon the words and upon what you really need and what He can give you? Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. He instructs, as we hear this morning, He instructs to seek that meat, that true food that is only in Him and that He can give. He sees you. He sees me. Must He say of you yet? What we read in John 5, verse 40, you've heard of all these different blessings of what we confess. And must He say what we read in John 5, verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life? Is that you yet? Hearing, maybe agreeing, but not fleeing unto Him, not begging, not praying, not opening His word, not seeking Him? But sheep, have you meditated upon Him? Church of God, have you meditated upon Him, upon His blessings? And did you receive a little comfort? Did you receive a little instruction? Did you receive a little hope, a little food for your soul? There's comfort in us. No, there's no comfort in us. Our comfort is only in Him. And there's comfort for those who become lost in self. Those recipients of grace who learn in themselves all sin, unrighteous, and must be righteous, must be just, but it's only in Him. That's where He leads. He leads to death in self and to life only in His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you been taught your need of spiritual life and in Him spiritual life? Have you been taught of your sinful self and that you need your sins forgiven and in Him is the forgiveness of sins? Have you been taught that He made you righteous? You made yourself unrighteous and He has the just demand to yet require of you to be just? And is there a question in your heart and your life? How can I be just with God? And have you been given to see by the gift of the grace of faith that He plants in the hearts to see not only who you are, but something of the risen Savior Jesus Christ and of His righteousness, and that everything you need is in Him? And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the first step of His exaltation. What's the second step, children? Teenagers, what's the second step of Christ's exaltation? His ascension. And with the Lord's help then this evening, we will consider His ascension. We read this in Acts 1, verse 9 through 11. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. So the ascension of Jesus Christ. And now let's read a summary of what we read of the ascension in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, question and answers 46 through 48, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 46. Lord's Day 18. Question and answer 46. How dost thou understand these words, He ascended into heaven? That Christ, in sight of His disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that He continues there for our interest until He comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Question and answer 47. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world as He hath promised? The answer, Christ is very man and very God. With respect to His human nature, He is no more on earth. But with respect to His Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, He is at no time absent from us. Question and answer 48. But if His human nature is not present wherever His Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? The answer, not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must be necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature He assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to us. And so the theme for this evening is the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Two thoughts. First, we will consider where He went. Children, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended. Where did He go to? Where did He go? He went to a certain place. Second, we will consider who He is or who He remains to be. Who He remains to be. Who is He? Who is that ascended Lord Jesus Christ? Who does He remain to be? Has He changed? Who does he remain to be? And so with the Lord's help, the ascension of Jesus Christ. First, we will consider where he went. And we see this in question and answer, especially 46. And so Ascension Day is an important event of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is an event especially for his church. It's for himself, it's for his Father, but also for his church. But the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is neglected, sadly, in the world. The world celebrates, yes, in a worldly way, Christmas, Easter, although today, that's even forbidden to say. Now we don't say that anymore. Now we say seasons, holidays. And yet, in the world, there is a time that they do recognize or mention about Easter and of Christmas. But there is no absolute mention or any day of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And that's not a wonder. They don't truly see the need of Christmas. They don't really understand the need of Easter. And so they also don't really see and the need of ascension. But that's the world we live in. But now, what about us? What about the church, Christ's church upon this earth? It's sad to say how little the church of the Lord Jesus Christ meditates and considers the ascension of Jesus Christ. And some churches don't, in through the world, don't even set a special date to remember the ascension of Jesus Christ. And so in the world, in name, they mention Christmas, Easter, nothing about the ascension. But in the church, which includes you and me, do we think about the ascension of Jesus Christ? Children, we like to hear about Christmas, right? And maybe we like to think about Easter. But when do we ever really think and talk and meditate about the ascension of Jesus Christ? And it is a beautiful, particular, important event. Church of God, Ascension Day is the coronation of your king. What does that mean? It's the crowning of your king. Your king, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the crowning of him, of your prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ. And Ascension Day is the day that God the Father receives back home his son. His son left the glory. He came to this earth, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, I could say it this way, is the homecoming. It's the homecoming of God's Son. It's the homecoming of Jesus Christ. He went to the earth. He went to the earth, and then he ascended into heaven. He went home to be eternally with his Father. And he went home with body and soul. And this is the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes into heaven. May we say it that way? He came to this earth in the flesh. He suffered, he died, he rose again, and he ascended with a glorified body. He came into the holies of holies. He entered into the presence of God. He came to this earth, why? To fight against sin, the world, and especially to conquer Satan. Remember that first promise, Genesis 3 verse 15? That he would conquer Satan. And he came. And he has conquered that great enemy. And Jesus Christ, now on Ascension Day, he returns into the glories, into the holies of holies. He is his homecoming. He returns as victor. He returns as conqueror. The high priest of his church, the Lord Jesus Christ, he ascended into heaven. And there he is, at the right hand of the Father, that thanking, that interceding high priest, blessing, praying, and interceding for his church. The ascension of Jesus Christ is his homecoming. He went home to be with his Father and all those angels. And we read in Acts 1 verse 9 that he was taken up. And we read in Luke 24 verse 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So children, the Lord Jesus Christ went up into heaven with his body, glorified body, risen body. How do we describe the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we read in books? Three words. It was actual, it was visual, and local. You say, what does that mean? I will explain. First, it was actual. It was a real event. The Lord Jesus Christ truly, really ascended into heaven. The disciples didn't see a vision. Like Peter, for example, remember, he saw a vision where there was a scroll that came down, and he saw that vision. No, the disciples didn't have a vision. It was a real event. It was an actual, real event in the history of the world that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. So that means it was actual, not a vision, but real event. It really happened. But the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ was also visible, actual and visible. The Lord Jesus ascended, and those disciples were standing there, and they saw it with their own eyes. And we read that they were looking up as he ascended into heaven, and as he went higher and higher and higher, until a cloud came and took them out of their sight. They saw it. They saw him ascend with their own eyes. And we read in Acts 1 verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. And what did they see? What did they see as Jesus Christ was going up? They saw his hands. That he reached out his hands. He lifted up his hands and he was blessing them. And we may believe that he went higher and higher and higher into heaven. And we do not read that he took his hands back. And so we can see Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, going into heaven, blessing them and praying for them. So it was actual and it was visual. But also, what does it mean, local? That means that he exchanged from a location to another location. He ascended from Mount Olives and he ascended up into heaven. He left the earth and he went into heaven. So those three words describe the ascension of Jesus Christ. Actual, real event, visual, you could see it, they saw it, and he went to a different place. So the ascension of Jesus Christ was real. But where did he go? Congregation, children, where did the Lord Jesus Christ ascend to? Where did that great high priest of this church, where did he go? Where did he go with those hands that was blessing them and praying for them? He went to heaven. Was this the end? No, it's not the end. It's not the end of his work. He finished the work on earth. He conquered Satan. He merited salvation for his church. But he goes into heaven, praying and blessing. And he's there interceding and thanking and blessing his church from heaven. And we read in Hebrews 4 verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So the Lord Jesus Christ ascended. He passed into the heavens. So where did he go? Where did he ascend to? He passed through the heavens. He went through the sky. We call the sky the heavens. He passed through the heavens. But where did he go? Where is he now, congregation? Jesus Christ passed through the atmosphere and he went to a certain place. He is at a place with his glorified body now. Where'd he go? We read he went into the heavens of heavens. He went into the presence of his Father. He went into heaven where God dwells, where there's all infinite purity, all those holy angels, and what a song must have rang out in heaven, as we can read also in the Psalms, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and entered into heaven, all those holy beings sang and praised and glorified him, the conqueror, the victor. He went into the heaven of heavens, into the presence of God. We read in Psalm 115, verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth shall he give to the children of men. So the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, and he went up into heaven in the presence of God, in the heavens of heavens. We call it the holies of holies. And so church, sheep of the good shepherd, your Savior is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, at the right hand of him whom thou hast sinned against, of whom thou must give an account. And then we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high. So where did the Lord Jesus go? At the right hand of the majesty on high into the heavens. On the day of Christ's ascension, he went to be with his Father. Children of God, think about that. Where did your high priest go? Where did your good shepherd go? Where did he go that came to this earth to merit salvation for poor sinners? He went into the heavens. He went there to present his sacrifice, his merits to his Father. And he's at the right hand presenting all his merits to his Father for his church. He's the ransom price. And there he prays and intercedes for his beloved, poor, wretched sheep, sinners in themselves. And Jesus Christ, he received all power in heaven and on earth, as we read in the Word of God, and he governs over all things. Sheep, your mediator, your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, went into the holy presence of God. Open your Bible, please, to Revelation 5. He went into the holy presence of God, and there we read in that vision of John little something about that ascended Savior and where he is. Revelation 5, verse 6, and then we will read verse 13. Revelation 5, verse 6, and also 13. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And then verse 13, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the lamb forever and ever. So Jesus Christ arose, he lived, and he ascended into heaven, as we can also read from the book of Revelation. So where is Jesus Christ? Where is he? He's in heaven, but where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. But where is he, congregation? Where exactly is he? He's sitting on a throne. Yes, he's sitting on a throne. He's exalted. He's a king. He's on a throne. What type of a throne is he sitting on? Is it a certain type of a throne? What do we read in the Word of God? We read in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, he went into heaven, and he sits on a throne. Not a throne of judgment. He will come to judge, yes, but we read specifically that he's on a throne of grace. That's a comfort, is it not? That he's on a throne of grace and of mercy. And children, you know the history of Esther. Remember Esther and King Ahasuerus? He was the greatest monarch at that time, and he was on a throne. And if a person would come to that great monarch, that King Ahasuerus, that great monarch of that time over the whole world, if anyone dared to come to him and was not invited, and if he didn't reach out his golden scepter, what happened to that person? He would be slain, killed. And Esther herself trembled to go before that great monarch who was even her husband. And she fasted and prayed before she dared to go before him. And so we see a great monarch on a throne. But how infinitely incomparable is that ascended Lord Jesus Christ who is on a throne. That greatest exalted monarch, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings on a throne. He's on a throne of mercy. What does that tell us? On a throne of grace. Is it a comfort to you? That's a comfort for poor sinners. Because Esther trembled to go to that high king. No one would dare to go into his presence, fearing they would die. But this exalted, almighty King of Kings is on a throne of mercy, on a throne of grace. What does that mean? What's the comfort? That we may cry unto him, that we may go unto him. He receives sinners that comes as beggars. No, he will not slay them. As that monarch, that earthly monarch that was a tyrant, he will not slay them. But those that come as beggars, as guilty ones, pleading, have mercy, that seek him with their whole hearts. No, that scepter of gold, of his mercy, of his grace will be reached out to them. They expect to die because of who they are, but they will be received in grace and in mercy. And he says in his word, those that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. That's him. That's that ascended Savior on the throne of grace. So where did the great high priest go on the day of ascension? He went onto a throne, on a throne of grace, at the right hand of the Father. He went into heaven. And we read in John, there he is, that advocate that intercedes for his beloved people, for poor, needy sinners, for sinners who have nothing in themselves. There he is interceding. Do you need a Savior? But do you also need an ascended Savior, a mediator? Not only a mediator that came to this earth, not only a mediator that fulfilled the law, not only a mediator that paid the price, but also a mediator at the very right hand of God against whom you have sinned, that intercedes for you. And that is that thanking high priest for sinners who have nothing, because in their pleading, in their thanksgiving, in all their prayers, it all needs to be cleansed by him. And there he is, that ascended, exalted Savior on the throne of grace. And he sees from the high exalted place, he sees poor needy sinners upon this earth. And his eyes are upon them, and his ears are open unto their cries. Listen to what we read in 1 Peter 3 verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But now listen. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Congregation, he sees you, children, teenagers, older ones. He sees you. He sees you wherever you go, that exalted Savior, and he hears every word. He hears when you do not pray. But he also hears when you pray, when you cry unto him. Jesus Christ is an exalted one in the heavens. And he never forgets his dear people. Remember the high priest? He had on his chest a stone for each of the 12 tribes. And he went into the presence of, holies of holies into the presence of God to bring a sacrifice for them. And he went carrying that people with him. But Jesus Christ, the great exalted high priest, he went into the heavens and he carries upon himself, upon his heart, upon his mind, upon his being, with the scars in his hands and his side and his head, he brings them into the very presence of God. And there in that high exalted place, he hears them. He sees them. He hears their groanings. He hears their sighs. He hears their cries. He hears your prayer, poor needy sinner. From high and exalted, he hears those cries. Those prayers that you don't even want to call prayers. He hears them. He hears you. But you who are living yet on your own account, who never pray unto him, who do not need him, who are yet living in sin, who are not seeking the Lord at all, because of no urgency. He also sees you high in the heavens as an exalted one. And he is on a throne of grace. And the door is open yet. And he sees you carrying on in your life, living for sin. He sees you. And listen, let's read that verse again. 1 Peter 3 verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Is that still you? He sees it. He hears everything. He sees everything. But what a comfort for those poor beggars. What a comfort for that people, that wretched people, that people who have nothing in self, that cry, that sigh, that groan, that cry unto him for mercy, that need him day by day. He hears and he sees. Let's read question and answer 46 again. How dost thou understand these words, he ascended into heaven? Answer, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. He continues there for our interest. He ascended. He came on this earth to do for the interest of his beloved sheep, his Father. He did the interest, the will of his Father. But he also now continues there at the right hand of God the Father on the throne, exalted, Lord of lords, King of kings, for our interest, for the interest of his dear beloved sheep, for poor and needy sinners. What a comfort. What a comfort for poor sinners. What a comfort in all the afflictions, all the trials, all the questions. What a comfort that in this life that they may look up. They may look up to that exalted Savior and need him, depend upon him as the prophet, priest, and king to be the interceding mediator at the right hand of the Father. Oh, to live by faith. To live by faith, looking up unto him, depending upon him. That's the only way to live in comfort now, Church of God, recipients of God's grace. To live in comfort is not to live according to our reasoning. Try to understand why God does this and why God does that. It's not a comfort to live by our feelings. It's not a comfort to live by anything, but only a comfort to live by faith upon him, upon who he is, upon his merits, upon his person, upon his blessings. But also, not only is that suffering, not only a born, suffering, dead, and risen Savior, but also as the ascended Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the comfort, by living by faith. And what an impossibility to day by day to live by faith, looking away from self and just looking dependent upon thee. We need grace upon grace upon grace. And we need to be stripped of everything. We need to be humble because it's our pride. We think we can live on our own. We don't need him. We think we can go without him, but we need him every moment. And we are called to live looking up to him, living by faith upon that exalted Savior. But now, before we come to the end of this thought, the Lord Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven, and he left his disciples. How did his disciples go home? When he spoke about his death, they were very sad, and Peter said, this will never happen. They didn't want to hear about it. And now, their Savior, their shepherd, their teacher, their precious Savior is ascended. He is ascended. How did they return? What do we read in Luke 24, verse 52? And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with joy? No, with great joy. Those disciples who couldn't hear the thought that he would die, and who were so disturbed that he died and was buried. But now he arose, and now he ascended, and they go to Jerusalem worshiping him, and they go to Jerusalem with great joy. How is that possible? Well, we read something in the Gospels that the Lord opened their understanding. They began to understand all the things, not only of who they were, but they began to understand not only that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, not only that he kept the law, but they began to understand also his beautiful priestly work, that he had to suffer, that he had to die, and also something, a little something of his kingly work. Of his kingly work. They began to live by faith, not only in a prophet, but also priest and a king. They came to know more. No, Christ isn't divided. He's a complete Savior. But those poor sinners grow in the grace and the knowledge of self, but also of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And so they go back with joy. With joy. Great joy. Why? Because of what he said. They went back trusting, living by faith upon his word. What a lesson. Those men to, or those two travelers to Emmaus had to learn to live upon his word. And the disciples began to live upon his word. And that brings comfort. That brings true joy. Not according to what I feel, but what the Lord says in his word, who he is for wretched sinners. What did he say to them? We read in John 14, verse 2 and 3. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so we may believe those disciples, they see him going home to be with the Father. And he said to those women, or to the Mary Magdalene, I go to thy Father and my Father. And disciples can see him. He's going home. He's going to his Father's house. And he's going there to prepare a place. And he will come again and receive them home. And so, upon his word, trusting, maybe not understanding it all, yet trusting, they go with joy back to Jerusalem. May I ask you, recipients of God's grace, do you also live not only with joy on a born Savior, not only in joy with a law-fulfilling, keeping Savior that has righteousness to cover you, but do you also have joy in a Savior that rose, but also ascended to go to prepare a place for you, and that he will come again and take you home? When do we hear of a child of God that longs, that really focus upon this, living this, hoping this, longing for this, looking to this? I've only heard it from Reverend Kite. I heard it from him, his mouth. He longed that the Lord Jesus Christ would come again, that he would see him come, that he wouldn't die, but that he would see him before he died. He had a longing, that man. That recipient of grace, a sinner that had grace, longing for the return of Jesus Christ, that ascended Savior would return. How poor we are today. But that's because our roots are so deep in this earth. Mine also. May the Lord work mightily, not only converting, not only teaching, leading to death and self, but also to live in that joy that these disciples had in Jesus Christ, because that's for His glory. And that's the comfort in their soul. And so we come to the end of our first thought. Where did He go, children? He went to heaven at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again. And He will come again on the clouds of heaven, on exalted on a throne. And then He will come to judge. But who is He? Who did He remain to be? Let's sing first from Psalter 200. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Psalter 200, the first three stanzas standing. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall His empire be. They that wilds inhabit shall their worship bring. Kings shall render tribute. Nations serve our King. And what follows? 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ascension of Jesus Christ, where he went. He went into heaven, into the presence of his Father. But second, who is he? Or who does he remain to be? Who is that ascended Lord Jesus Christ? Who is that great high priest? Well, he remains who he came to be. He has the same name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very man and he's very God. He ascended, but he remains the same. Yes, he now has a glorified body, but he's the same Savior, the same Good Shepherd, the same Mediator at the right hand of the Father. And we read in John 16, verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And yet, though he has ascended into heaven to be with the Father, he yet has a promise. What promise did he give before he ascended? Matthew 28, verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How can he ascend to heaven and be at the same time always with his church? Children, can you be at home and can you be in church at the same time? That's impossible, but that's because we're little, tiny, sinful human beings. But Jesus Christ is the Son of Man and he's the Son of God. He has a human nature and a divine nature. So let's read question and answer 47 and 48 again. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world as he hath promised? Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. And then question answer 48. But if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. So how is this possible that he ascended into heaven and yet remains upon with his church? This is a mystery. But he's in heaven with his human and divine nature. And yet with his divine nature, he is present, as we read, because your Savior will never be absent from you concerning his Godhead, grace, and spirit. So he is God. He came in the flesh and he died, he rose, he ascended, and he remains God. He is divine. He's everywhere present at the right hand of the Father and with his church. And there he is at the right hand. May I say it this way? He's there in the presence of the Father. May I say it with much reverence? He can hold the hand of the Father. He can hold the hand of the Father, that Father that we read in Proverbs 8, that he was ever his delight, rejoicing in him. He came to this earth, and now he can go back with a physical body. And he can, so to speak, it's an image. It's not literal, it's not real, because God is a spirit, but it's a picture holding the hand of the Father. And yet he's with you, little sheep. He's with you, lambs. He's with you, Church of God. He is never absent from you. At the Father and with you. He's united, separated, but yet with. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a precious comfort. Never absent. And that church can so often feel. Did you hear it? Feel that he has forsaken them. Feel, where is he? Can't find him. Like Job said, I look to the left, I look to the right, I look forward, I look back, I can't find him. They feel this way. But he has promised. He is never, ever absent from his dear, caring, beloved sheep that he died for, that he merited. He's never absent. He's always with them. He's in them even. He's in them with his Holy Spirit. That's how connected he is with them. Who is he? He's God. He's divine. He's the Holy One without sin. But he's also that compassionate high priest. He came on this earth. And he's a prophet, priest, and king. But he ascended. And he is that interceding, compassionate high priest at the right hand of the Father. And he knows exactly all your cares and needs of your heart. And maybe no one else understands you. But remember Peter, when the Lord asked him, "Lovest thou me?" What was the comfort for Peter? "Lord, thou knowest all things." And that ascended, compassionate high priest, he knows all things. He knows your heart, poor sinner. He knows your heart, little lamb, sheep, recipients of God's grace. He knows all your troubles, all your cares, all your questions, all your riddles. He remains the same who he was upon earth. He's only exalted and glorified. What a comfort, because he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. He doesn't change. And he's that same all-knowing, caring, everywhere present, compassionate high priest for poor, wretched sinners. He ascended into heaven. And who is he? He remains who he is in his human and divine nature as that good shepherd. And no matter where you go, Church of God, maybe in your truck in traffic, maybe in your tractor, maybe working with concrete or other things, maybe working building, maybe in your kitchen, maybe in school, maybe in your home, in your backyard, wherever you go, Church of God, he is ever present with you. What a comfort. But what separates that feeling? What separates that feeling of his presence? Does he separate that? No, we do with our sin. Sin causes a separation. Like David, he sinned and then he missed the joy of salvation. Our sin interrupts that feeling of the blessedness of his presence. Have you experienced his grace made alive, lost? Have you had something of the taste of the joy in him, in that Savior? How is it now? Is it all dark? Dark? What's the instruction for those that are tasted and yet live in darkness now? We read something in Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? So this is not an unbeliever. This is one who feareth the Lord, has the tender fear of the Lord in his heart, who would obey the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, tasted something of the joy. What's the instruction? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. In darkness, feeling forsaken maybe, feeling where is he? Yet to trust and to stay upon him, upon his promise that he will never leave thee, never forsake thee. He's always with thee. And it's our sin that causes this interruption. So it's our guilt. Who is he? He's an exalted, faithful, compassionate, interceding high priest at the right hand of the Father. What a comfort. He never changes. He doesn't change. All that we read in the Word of God of who he is for poor sinners, he stays the same. Who is he? He's the head, and he calls his church the body. And we see, we're all here. We have a body and a head. It's connected. It's connected. There's no life without the head. And the head is connected to the body. The exalted, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. He is united to his body. We read that in Ephesians. He's the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And if you touch his body, if you touch his church, you touch him. If you persecute his church, you persecute him. Remember, children, Saul persecuted the church, Christ's church. And the Lord spoke to him on the way to Damascus. And listen, Saul, Saul, why persecutest my church, my sheep? No. Why persecutest thou me? What does that tell us? That exalted Savior, that compassionate high priest, is united to his sheep. And when you touch them, you touch him. And so we come to the end. A question for you and me. What think ye of Jesus Christ? What think ye? We've heard many things in the last week about the Lord Jesus Christ through the confession of faith. That he's the Lord. That he's Jesus Christ. That he suffered. He's born, but he suffered. He died. He rose. And now another beautiful point. He ascended as a compassionate high priest. What think ye of him? What think ye? Are you living on your own? On your own? Seeking? Trying to fill your heart with this world? I hope you feel how absolutely poor you are without a born Savior, without a suffering Savior, a paying Savior, without the forgiveness of sins, without any righteousness to cover you, without any way to stand before God in peace and joy and happiness, just absolutely without. Without an interceding high priest for you as an advocate, without. But Church of God, what blessings, what blessings in him that ascended, exalted, compassionate high priest, and he sees you. His ear is open to all your cries, and he's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's presenting all your prayers, prayers that you don't even want to call prayers, all your groans, all your sighs, at the right hand of his Father, interceding and thanking for you. Oh, how we should live, Church of God, looking to him, abiding in him, resting upon him, hoping in him. But it's our sinfulness, it's our unbelief, yes, our unbelief, it's our worldliness. Instead of living day by day as we should, looking away from self, looking away from the world, and just looking unto him, needing him, abiding in him, needing him, dependent upon him. And I'd like to close with one verse. Do you know something of the grace of God? Listen, there's an exhortation to you especially Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, is that you? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that those who are living without thee, with any of thy blessings, of who thou art, for poor sinners, may be awakened, may become poor, guilty, lost in self, and become beggars by thy grace, that they would become true seekers. But Lord, remember also all thy dear people, how sinful we are, how worldly we yet are. O give that exhortation that we have heard, that we may live dependent upon thy grace, needing thy Spirit, that we may set our affections on things above, and not upon the things of this earth. Lord, guide us and lead us in this week. May we take thy word that we have heard and meditate upon it, to think upon it, and may it bring us upon our knees before thee. Lord, keep us in this week. Keep us, all of us from an unprepared death, and prepare us, Lord, to meet Thee. Help us in all our individual responsibilities as children, teenagers, adults, parents, all of us, Lord. Give in our hearts the tender fear of the Lord to serve Thee, to follow Thee, to obey Thee, and bless Thy word that we may read and hear. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 439, the third stanzas. 439, the third stanzas. Whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for Thee my troubled heart is burning. Though flesh should faint and heart should break, Thou art my rock that naught can shake. In life and death Thou art my stay, my strength, my portion, Lord, for a. Psalter 439, the third stanzas. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.